Welcome back to the California Work Comp Report. Good workers' compensation reports need valid examination data to increase the likelihood of the report being accepted by insurance providers so that the claims can be brought to a close. In this podcast episode, Dr. John Alchemy gives practical advice on how to do this. Let's hear what Dr. John Alchemy has to say.
Hi, Dr. John Alchemy with RateFast and RateFast Express. Today I'm going to be talking about understanding the RateFast digital impairment rating system and the process of claim settlement in unrepresented cases. So we get this question a lot. What happens to an impairment rating after it's being sent to the insurance company on an unrepresented individual? How does that case work its way through the system? And what needs to happen for that case to be accepted and the report to ultimately be used for settlement for the injured worker? So there's really two key elements that need to be understood, and we'll discuss them both here today. The first is substantial medical evidence. And what is that? So Labor Code 4628 says that admissible evidence for a medical legal report contains the following elements. Number one, a complete history. So a complete history needs to be taken. And typically that includes the body part being evaluated, the pain or symptoms of the body part, the frequency of the body part, and particularly the activities of daily living that affect that body part and result in functional loss, if any, for the injured worker. And that's really key, because in RateFast, that is the key concept that we use to determine if impairment is present. And if it is, how severe is the impairment? How impactful is the impairment? Number two, you need to review and summarize the relevant medical data. So that means that you need to look at some medical records, history, diagnostic tests, what was done, what was the result of treatment, those types of things, relevant medical documents. So usually, and that will be primary treating physician records if you're using the RateFast Express product, the diagnostic tests, and anything else that was used to arrive at medical opinions. Next, what we want to do is you need to set forth all conclusions that were used as the basis in the report. So using your history, your physical exam, the diagnostic tests, whether the report is coming in through a standard RateFast or a RateFast Express, where the report is being formatted for the stakeholders, the findings of the AMA Guides 5th edition need to be based on the evidence in the report. Also, the required element of the report to make it complete is the pain add-on. In California, as you know, using the AMA guides, chapters 1 through chapter 17, you have to make an opinion on whether or not the impairment burden requires an additional pain value of up to 3%. So that needs to be considered. Next, Almaraz Guzman. So you have to decide if the conventional four corners rating, which typically uses charts and tables, has adequately expressed and conveyed the functional loss of the individual, again, based on the substantial medical evidence. If not, then an Almaraz Guzman number needs to be determined. Again, in RateFast and RateFast Express, that's automatically done because every report not only has one rating, but it has two. It has the Almaraz Guzman functional loss rating, and it also has the standard conventional four corners rating where the individual is using tables and charts. And if the tables and charts adequately convey the functional loss, there is no Almaraz Guzman. However, if the difference between the four corners rating and the Almaraz Guzman is greater than 10%, then it's going to default to the Almaraz Guzman. So that's all baked in, ready to go. Next, apportionment. Apportionment needs to be discussed, and the reasons for apportionment, and of course, apportioning pathology, that has to be discussed. So how you're doing it, why you're doing it. If you're using tables in the AMA guides as an interval reference or a guide for creating the difference in two values and what those values are. For example, we might use things like arthritis. And because the AMA guides in chapter 15 for the spine rates arthritis as no arthritis, mild, moderate, or severe, you have to explain why that is. So, and that also has to be determined why you choose a particular number and how that's done. So again, without going too far afield, just know that the apportionment also needs to be based on admissible evidence for the medical report. And then, of course, the work status. And this will come up when we talk about adequacy next. But the work status, return to work, modified duty, unable to return to work, no accommodations being made, etc. So that will be important. And then, of course, the future care. What does the individual need going forward to continue to treat and or alleviate and or cure the results of the medical condition? Often that's ongoing prescription medications, quarterly office visits, physical therapy, injections, further diagnostic tests and access to specialty, sometimes surgery. So that's future care. So if you have all of those elements into a report, when it goes off to the DEU, the report will be found to be substantial medical evidence. And that's standard in every RateFast and RateFast Express report. So typically, no problem meeting that criteria with the product. Now, once the DEU has reviewed the report and determined that the report is substantial medical evidence, then it goes on to the judge. That becomes part two, because the judge has to sign off on this report. Because remember, we're talking about reports where the injured worker is not represented. So what the judge is going to do is, the judge is typically not an expert rater. The judge defers often to the DEU or depends on the DEU to tell them, is this rating first substantial medical evidence, and is the rating correct applying the tables and charts, and if it's an Elmeriz-Guzman rating, do you think that that's accurate? So these are the things that the judges typically will rely upon the DEU to do. And remember, step one, the report goes to the DEU. Now, when it gets to the judge, and we'll actually hopefully have an additional video cast from retired Judge Steve Seemers, who works and consults with RateFast, he's going to talk about this concept that I'm going to talk about right now, called adequacy. So adequacy is necessary for the judge to make a determination that the unrepresented injured worker has adequate provisions in the report, and that it's a fair and equitable settlement. Because remember, they do not have an attorney performing this role for them. So the first thing that the judge wants to make sure is, again, substantial medical evidence. And we've already talked about that. That's how the report is preliminarily reviewed by the DEU. But the judge, of course, has to make that determination as well. Number two, very important to the judge. What is the work status for this individual? Have they returned to work? Do they have permanent functional limitations? Or has that injury actually prevented them from returning to gainful employment? And that is probably one of the most important things that the judge is going to pay attention to in this report. Because if the injured worker is not able to go back to work, this poses a serious problem for the injured worker. And then the judge has to start thinking, is the impairment rating going to be adequate to take care of this injured worker? Is the future care going to be adequate to take care of the injured worker? So that's probably one of the most important pieces, is that the judge has to determine, is this injured worker getting fair treatment in the system, and is this report adequate for the injured worker? Now, the third part that the judge is going to consider is internal consistency. How does the story hold up of the report? Is the patient's subjectives consistent with the physical exam findings? And is that consistent with the impairment rating or the Elmeriz-Guzman rating? And then the apportionment. Is the apportionment consistent? Do they have a high apportionment with whatever that means, but in comparison to the severity of arthritis, let's say, or the severity to a pre-existing condition? So what the judge is really doing is they're doing a final check. They're a safety net, if you will. And remember, this injured worker has no attorney looking out for their best interest, which is okay. The system is set up to process injured workers and make settlements occur without having to have every single injured worker represented. But again, we're talking about unrepresented individuals. So the judge is like the last step. They take a look. The DEU has processed the report. They've presented it to the judge as the impairment rating being accurate and substantial medical evidence is present. The judge has to look over all of this again. Then they have to check it again to make sure the work status and if this individual is going to be gainfully employed. And then they finally have to look over the report and say to themselves, does this report really tell a consistent story? Is the injured worker's symptoms and signs and activities of daily living consistent with the impairment rating that the DEU has given us and their ability to work or not work? And once those things have been met, then adequacy can be determined by the judge, and the judge will sign off on the report. So again, this is the way that an unrepresented injured worker has an impairment report processed through the system with the DEU and get a signature for settlement so the parties can finally resolve the claim. So all of this has to be present for any impairment report to work in California to reach settlement in an unrepresented case. And that doesn't matter if it's a rate fast report being written for a primary treater who signs the report, or if it's a rate fast express where the report's being formatted from primary treater reports and then signed by an individual to be presented to the DEU, or if it's simply a primary treater doing their own history, physical exam, and doing their own manual rating. The point is, all of these things need to be present, and when they are present, the reports will go through the system, and the system functions as necessary and intended. Now, I hope this was helpful. Again, Dr. John Alchemy with RateFast. We'll look forward to talking to you next time.
Thanks for listening. For more on understanding the RateFast digital impairment rating system and the process of claims settlement, visit our blog at blog.rate-fast.com. And if you'd like to learn more about RateFast Workers' Compensation Impairment Report Writing Service, visit us at rate-fast.com. And hey, if you have any questions or comments for our podcast, you can email us at caworkcompreport@rate-fast.com.